If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn in them to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 65, and we'll begin reading in verse 17, Isaiah 65, verse 17. If you don't have your Bibles, it's there on the screen for you. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or older people who do not live out their years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Pray with me. God, we are grateful for your word, and we're grateful for the vision of your future that it opens up for us. Your future that is coming to be even now. And God, we ask that you would open up our hearts to hear your voice, that you would speak to us through the scripture, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And God, we pray that the outcome of these moments together would not be simply that we increase our knowledge of what your word says and what it contains, but that you would transform us, God, that you would work in our hearts and in our lives and change us and make us into the people that you desire for us to be, so that more and more who Jesus is visible in who we are, that more and more his life is evident in how we live. And so we pray all this, God, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Wow. That is quite a picture, isn't it? That is quite a description of the world that God is bringing to pass, the world that God is creating. A place where work will be fulfilling, where lives will be long. Even the predation in the animal world that we see, that stops. Animals stop hunting each other. There isn't any more suffering. There isn't any more foreshortening of life expectancies. And God's people will enjoy God's continual blessing and they will be a source of joy to God. God's people will be a source of joy to God. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Won't that be amazing? This summer, some friends of ours were just a day away, just a couple of days away from welcoming their daughter into the world. And our friend Paula woke up from a nap one afternoon and couldn't feel their daughter within her, and went to the doctor and found out that something had happened and the baby was no longer living. And so brought her into the world with no life in her. And so they know that absence. They know that pain of what it's like to have a child that you expect to see grow up. You expect to see grow and thrive and learn and become. And all of that is cut short in a moment. And we know what it's like for people to come to an end of their life long before we would expect, long before we would think that they had reached their life expectancy. The world that we live in is not like the world that Isaiah describes. It's a world where foreclosure turns people out of their homes. It's a world where natural disasters have become, it seems, all too commonplace. We think about sisters and brothers in the Philippines today, and we see those images on the television of people just longing just for a bottle of water, just for something clean to drink. And we hear voices saying, well, you know, I have a little bit of hope that my family member will be found alive, but just a little bit. And we live in a world where there is economic injustice. We live in a world where people work long hours, and yet because of where their wages are set, they're not able to provide for their families. They're not able to take care of their own needs and those of the ones that they love. That's the world that we live in. We don't yet live in the world that Isaiah shows us, the world that God is creating for us, the world that is coming to be. So how did we wind up in this mess? How did we and our world become so incredibly broken? Turn back in your Bible to the very first book, to the beginning of that first book, to Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis 3 describes how our world got so broken. There is this serpent, the one that Isaiah says is going to eat dust, going to eat dirt. And the serpent appears to Eve and says, did God really tell you that you can't eat from any of this bounty that's here in the garden? So the very first thing that the serpent does is the serpent tells a lie, because, you know, no, God said you can eat from almost anything in the garden. There are just these two trees in the middle of the garden that I don't want you to eat from. And Satan tells another lie, and the snake tells another lie and says, look, you know, God doesn't want you to eat from those trees in the middle of the garden, because if you eat from those trees, then you'll be like God. Now, what that means in that context is that they'll get to run their own lives. They'll get to make their own decisions. They'll get to be the ones in charge. And when we think about our lives, all too often, that's what our ambition is directed toward, right? Is being able to be the person in charge. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm going to do what feels right to me. I'm going to do what I want to do and you know, let the consequences happen. But I'm the boss here. How many times do we try so hard to make sure that we can be in charge, that no one can tell us what to do? And so Eve and Adam believe this lie that there is good stuff out there that God is withholding from them, and so they eat this fruit, and then they understand the real position that they're in. They understand the place that they're in, and it begins to send these little ripples, send these shock waves of brokenness and sin and disease through the world. And so God begins to outline for them what the consequences of their disobedience are going to be. And God says to Eve, I'm going to make your pains in childbearing severe. With pain you'll give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. In other words, things that ought to be a source of blessing, things that ought to be a source of great joy, become sources of frustration and pain. And relationships that ought to be characterized by partnership and equality and caring for one another, they become occasions to see who can dominate whom and who can tell who what to do. Your desire is going to be for your husband, but he's going to dominate you. He's going to rule over you. That's what happens when we try and run our own lives. That's what happens when we try and be our own little God. And he says to Adam, he says, you know, I gave you this job to take care of the created order, but now what's going to happen is you're going to experience working in a way that brings you frustration. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Cursed is the ground because of you. The very earth begins to degenerate because of the choices that humans have made to live apart from God and to try and go our own way and live life in a way that seems good to us. And we experience that today, don't we? We look at the world around us, and it seems like we are doing everything that we can as people to degrade our environment and to make sure that it is broken. And we say, well, we need energy, or we need resources, or we need to maximize our standard of living. We don't need what we think we need. And what we think we need is not going to make us happy. And we experience this in other places in our lives as well. We think that we can find happiness in work. We think that we can find happiness in achievement. We think that we can find happiness in possessing more and more. But that becomes, for us, a source of frustration and a locus of disappointment, because we go to those places and they don't provide fulfillment for us. They don't provide a sense of accomplishment for us that we think they will. We can resonate with Adam in that experience where it says, you know, that we think that we're planting good plants, and what comes up is thorns and thistles, we go to work and we think, this is going to be a great day, and it turns out to be a rotten day, and we don't experience the fulfillment in our daily work that we hope for, that we think that we're going to experience. That's a result of this curse. That's a result of our disobedience, not just a long time ago, but in our lives, our own disobedience toward God, our own trying to run our own lives and be our own God. And it brings about great pain for us. It brings about great frustration for us. Here's the good news. We're not stuck. We're not stuck. We don't have to live forever like Eve and Adam in a world that is not turning out like they thought it would. It was deliverance from all this that Isaiah was anticipating. Isaiah was reflecting on the Genesis text and others like it and saying God is going to, hearing the voice of God, saying that God is going to do a new thing, that God is going to bring about a new creation. Doesn't that sound wonderful? The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Be glad, rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. And listen to this. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. This is the good news, is that God is bringing that day. That day is coming when weeping and crying are going to come to an end, when death and dying are going to be over, when pain and suffering are going to cease, when frustration and anxiety will be no more. God is doing that. God is bringing that day. But here's the even better news. This is not just a future hope that we have. This is not just something that's off sometime in the future after we die, when we get to heaven, when everything is as it should be. That's not our only opportunity to experience this. We can experience this in part. Here and now, that is what it means that Jesus has come into our world. That is what it means that Jesus in his life and death and resurrection has made it possible for the new creation to become our reality, to become our experience. In the Genesis text, it talks, God speaks to the serpent and he says, well, you're going to bite the heel of the child of the woman, but that same child is going to crush your head. There is a time when God is going to bring to an end suffering and evil in our world, and we can be a part of that happening now. So whenever we work for justice in our world, whenever we work for peace in our world, whenever we promote reconciliation, we are becoming a part of God bringing a new heaven and a new earth. Whenever you solve a conflict in your workplace, you are part of God bringing a new heaven and a new earth. Whenever you apologize to your spouse sincerely because you realize that you were being selfish, that you were doing what you shouldn't do, that you were hurting that other person that you care about, you are becoming part of God bringing a new heaven and a new earth. You are a part of God's new creation. Whenever you obey your parents, even when it doesn't make sense to you, even when you do what's right, even though you would very much like to do what's wrong, you are becoming part of God's new creation. You are engaging in that new heaven and that new earth. It is coming, and you are becoming part of it because of the power of God, because of the work of Jesus Christ in your life, because of you allowing Him to live out His life through you. This is what it sounds like in the book of Revelation in chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then in chapter 22, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Now that seems like a vision of the future, and it is coming more fully in the future than we experience it now, but we can experience that, the beginnings of it today. Jesus says, "I am making everything new." What do you need God to make new in your life? What do you need God to restore in your life? Do you need God to work in your workplace and to help that become a place not of frustration, but of fulfillment, a place where you recognize that in your daily work you are blessing others and you're being a blessing? Do you need God to make all things new in your marriage? Do you need God to work in that relationship to restore it? Do you need God to work in a friendship to help there to be reconciliation, to help there to be restoration in those relationships? Do you need to see God at work in your school, changing how things are there? Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." Amen.